Grace and peace to you from our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to Christmas Eve 2024. Now, Christmas has always been a joyful occasion. 2025, oh my gosh, yeah, I lost an entire year. Wow, we better check all the slides tonight. Pam, I hope you're taking notes and you can correct me, you know, later on. 2025. Yeah, wow. Well, I did turn 61 the other day, so it's all downhill from here. Anyways, as I mentioned, I turned 61 the other day. Part of the excitement of Christmas for me was always my birthday being 5 days before, right? Although that was also frustrating, too, because I was always ill. I think the first Christmas or first birthday I went to school, I was a fourth grader because I was always sick on my birthday. But I loved the season, right? You know, I loved winter. It was always the start of it. Growing up in Minnesota in the 70s before global warming hit, we had a lot of snow. You could go out and play in it. You know, all these things that were just so great. You know, the lights, the beauty of the season, right? Both the secular and the church hymns, I just, you know, loved all that stuff that was going on. The lights always gave it a festive mood. And so Christmas has always been an exciting time for me. This birth of Jesus Christ that we celebrate, though, took place 2,000 years ago in a small village in the Middle East, in, you know, what is now Israel. And it has changed the world. As we just read a few moments ago in Luke 1 and Matthew 1, for those announcements to Mary and Joseph. You know, the angel said their son would be the Savior of the world. He told Mary specifically, he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, which was a big deal, right? He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And the angel specifically told Joseph, she will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Those are incredible statements, are they not? Right? And the birth of Jesus came about because of the faithfulness of two people, Mary and Joseph. They surrendered to God's will in their lives, right? I mean, as we read, for Mary, what if Joseph doesn't believe this child is of the Holy Spirit, right? He was going to divorce her quietly, but this whole pregnancy thing could get her stoned, could get her killed, right? Because they had not yet been married. And for Joseph, has she really been unfaithful, right? They were both like, okay, I'm trusting this thing, right? We don't like to step out that far in trust usually, do we? But through their obedience, God brought his son into the world. And Jesus was born Savior of the world. Look around. 2024 was bad, but you know, 2025 is bad too, right? I mean, whatever year it is, there's always chaos. There's always crisis. There's always unrest, right? Does the world need a Savior? The simple answer is yes. Yes, it does. It does. As Jesus himself said to Nicodemus, God sent his son to save the world because the world already stands condemned, right? And Jesus, later on in that discussion with Nicodemus, said this, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. We have lived in a dark world full of sin and chaos since Adam and Eve bit the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? So again, does the world need a Savior? Yes, it does. And only Jesus Christ is that Savior. He is the only one who was sinless. No one in history can dare to claim to be without sin, right? We may have egos, but each one of us knows that we are messed up in some area, right? And as Paul wrote in Romans 3, all have sinned, right? You know, if in this world we're all standing around in one big pit, there's no way we can help each other out of it. We think we can. We have technology that does amazing things. We think we can make the world a better place. But people are still corrupted in their cores, in their souls. And so we need someone who can step in and save us. And Jesus was that one, the sinless one, who stepped in and saved us and redeemed us by paying the penalty for the sin. And why was that necessary? Because again, as Paul wrote in Romans, the wages of sin is death. Sin leads to death, and we all again stand condemned. That's why Jesus stepped into this world and paid that penalty for us. He took our place. Now, again, as I alluded to at the beginning of the service, it's rather a well-known story, this birth of Jesus Christ. And I do. I think much of the world is well aware of it because there are so many who practice, just whether they're faithful or not, they grew up practicing Christian or Christmas, you know, in a Christian country. And even in non-Christian countries, there are enough Christians scattered around who are celebrating that people will ask, well, why? What are you doing? What is this about? Right? And so I think that far more of the world than we sometimes think knows about the birth of Jesus Christ. And if you dig into why these people would be celebrating, well, then you find out it's because he's our Savior. He is God. I mean, that's a pretty big statement when we say Jesus Christ is God, right? Because we live in a world where we don't really believe in outside gods, at least not if you think properly and rightly, right? We can be our own gods. But the world has looked for a redeemer. The world has looked for someone to make life better. Again, ever since the very beginning of this world, right? Because in everyone's life, something is wrong. Something is not working the way we want it to. Something is fallen. And just like we know that we are eternal beings, we know that things are not right. And so, at Christmas, it's easy to cozy up to the story of Jesus' birth, but really not give it much thought, right? We set out the nativity scenes, but do we really appreciate what happened on that Christmas night 2,000 years ago? Because it's entirely possible for us to celebrate Christmas and not celebrate the real meaning of Christmas. Our Savior came into this world. He came for each and every one of us. He came for you, for me, for the people we love, and even for the people we really, really, really dislike, right? He came for everyone. And Jesus, Mary and Joseph didn't have an inkling about the true mission of Jesus Christ. They might have thought they did. But you know, just like he opened the eyes of the blind, his true mission was to open our spiritual eyes to God's truth. Because while we can be spiritual and we can say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, this and that, it's like, but do you really understand the wonderful news that Christmas represents? Your Savior came for you. He's redeemed you. He has come to redeem the captives who are held down by the guilt and shame of what they've done in life. He's come to cut away all the parts of ourselves that we like, but all the parts of ourselves that others look at and say, I really dislike that, right? Because we can like ourselves regardless, but are we really being likable? And when God's Spirit fills our hearts, the Spirit of God is lovable. When people see the Spirit of God, they're just overwhelmed and are like, I want that Spirit in me. And that's what Jesus Christ came to give us, to open our blind eyes, to call us out of the dungeon of despair and guilt and shame that we may be living in, to bring light into the dark recesses of our life and say, let's clean this up and live freely, live in God. And I've got things for you to do. I've got a purpose for each and every one of you to make my name known and help others find the spiritual truth that Jesus Christ brought into our lives. You know, long before Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Job gave one of the best summaries of who the future Savior would be. Because Job knew that his Savior would come and rescue him. In Job 19, 25 to 27, we read this statement. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. Job understood the destiny of man, of fallen mankind. One, he would die. Two, he also knows that he's eternal. While the body may die, his soul, his spirit will go on. And he knew that his Redeemer lived. His Redeemer lived then, his Redeemer lives now, and his Redeemer lives forever. And finally, Job knew that he would look upon that Redeemer just the same way that you and I shall one day look upon Jesus. After this body of mine is dead and buried and gone, I shall see my Redeemer in my flesh, and I shall be overwhelmed. And that Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. This is what it means that Jesus Christ is Savior of the world. Right? This is what we celebrate today. And so, like Mary and Joseph, we are reminded, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And what he said to Joseph again, she will bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. Merry Christmas, everyone.